The topic of this meeting is fun in recovery, and I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Pamela, from the Baltimore area.
Baltimore
area.
Hi, everybody. I'm Natty. My name is Pamela. You know what? I'm gonna clarify that. Let's just talk about it. I want to say welcome to everybody that's in the room. Look, I gotta get myself situated. You know, you gotta be comfortable when you're gonna talk about yourself. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do, is to share yourself with people and let them know about you, right? So I'm comfortable now. I got my pants in the right position. So I'd like to say I met Ron in the back. I met Steve right there. I know Sheila and Dawn. I met Johnny. I didn't meet this gentleman, but his face is very happy and welcoming. I appreciate that. It makes sharing easy. You understand what I'm saying? Hi, Andre. How you doing? I met Reggie. I feel like I'm amongst friends here.
Yeah.
So the clarification about the area that I'm from, it's always been a little weird for me since I got clean. I live on the Eastern Shore, that's the east of the Bay Area, but I work in Annapolis, which is the Bay Area, and I hang out and go to meetings in the D.C. area, right? And let me just be honest, the first year I was clean, I was so happy. Look, the topic is fun and recovery. I'm going to talk about it, because I had some good times in recovery, or else I wouldn't have stayed. There is no way I could have gone from running and gunning to just sitting in a meeting and then going home. I wouldn't have stayed. I needed the dances. I needed the card games. I needed the picnics. I needed line dancing. I needed all of that because that was a very specific part of my recovery. That was the fellowship piece, you see. So we got one program, but it is divided into a couple different components. And the main component is the fellowship of other human beings, right? We fellowship together. This is fellowship. But that literature, it is a must, because without it, you're not really recovering. So how do you measure your recovery, right? I measured mine by the fun I was having. And let me just be honest, I didn't have fun as a kid. My parents, both were military. Well, let me just say this. My parents went in the military for lack of other things to do in their families, right? Like, as they become young adults, they didn't have a lot to do. It wasn't a lot for a black person to do back in 1960. You know what I mean? For work, for education, for being able to care for yourself or whatever. So both my parents went in the military. They met and they married, and here I am. And I have a brother who is 11 months younger than me. And we were in Alabama, and my dad is from Maryland, and he decided that when he got out, we would come here to live. So it's always been a little awkward for me about what group I fit in, racially. It's always been. Because even though we were in Alabama, right, on the base, I was with white people. Look, I was surprised when somebody told me that I was black. I'm like, okay, so... why? But look, I had enough sense to ask this question. What difference does it make? I was probably 4 1/2. And I was all about trying to find fun. And I would dream dreams. And I was the queen of fantasy. And I like dress up. I used to put towels on my head and pretend it was long hair. I just had good times by myself because my best friend was my brother, but he wasn't imaginative like that. He was more concrete in his thinking, right? So I was a loner as a child, and sometimes it was lonely. Yeah. So I was severely asthmatic. Y'all see my little apparatus right there. I keep it nearby. Thank God I don't need it as much as I used to when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, I needed it all the time, and I didn't even have it. It wasn't something that they gave to children, so I was sick all the time. So I was one of the kids that always read a lot. That's probably why I got into all that imagination and stuff. I read a lot. I watched a lot of TV, and I sat around the grown folks. and they thought I was smart, and they told me I was pretty, and but really, I was their little waitress. You know, and that's what I was. You know, they was having their little gatherings and stuff, and I was bringing the drinks, you know, and I was cleaning up after. And because I wasn't playing with the kids, out running and playing, because I couldn't physically do that. I was mostly with adults, and when I wasn't with adults, I was alone. So I started to understand that the fun that the adults was having after they would have their cocktails was very interesting, right? So I think the first time that I really wanted to taste it, I was probably 7. I'm cleaning up, I'm getting the beer cans and stuff together, and I'm like, well, what is this? And I'm like, ooh, it's pretty nasty. But then a few minutes passed, and I was like, oh, that's why they drink it, right? So I really truly began drinking at that age, and I thought it was fun. I did. I thought it was fun because when I would do silly things, the adults thought that was even more cute. And so as I got older, I figured that whatever was available would be more fun than the fun I was currently having. And I was down the rock. I wanted to try everything, right? So I did that. And so 7, and I spent my 30th birthday in jail. That was the span, right? So let me just tell you, though, I would be a liar if I stood here and told you that every moment of my using was horrible, because I had some good times even using. That's what kept me in active addiction so long, because I didn't go straight to the bottom. It was like meandering through the park. Some days weren't as good as others, but then it would get good again, right? And it would tell me the lie that you just had a bad whatever, and it's going to be okay again, so you can keep doing it, right? And I kept lowering the bar, lowering the bar, lowering the bar, until finally, I remember I said, well, if I get evicted, eviction's bad, right? Eviction's bad. So if I get evicted, I'll stop. Right? And then I moved to, well, if my car gets repossessed, and then finally, if I go to jail. So now I'm in jail, and I can't lie that everything I've been doing to that point put me in that situation, and I had to face it head on. And I didn't know how. H and I came. I've been here ever since. There's no relapse in my story. That's the down and dirty. That's what happened. Now let's get to the fun. When I came, oh my gosh, when I got out of jail, on New Year's Eve, 1994. My first meeting on the street was January 1, 1995, but I already had 6 months clean. Just clean time. That's all we celebrate here anyway. We're not celebrating individual recovery, because if we were, everybody would be at the same place at the same time, and that's just not how it works. How it works is you do your work, I do my work, we get our individual benefit based on the willingness we have to put in the work, right? And the more willingness you have to put in the work means the more fun you're going to be having. Think about that. It's just that simple. When I was willing to write the steps, call my sponsor, go to a meeting, you heard me, when I was willing to do those things, constant fun. Even when it wasn't good times, it was still good times, because I was with people that I knew cared about me, and they were telling me the truth, even when it hurt my feelings. And it was absolutely fun, because I felt love. Listen, love is fun. Mm-hmm. I'm talking intimate partner love. Mm-hmm. Shit is fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Because you know what? Somebody else just said, if you're doing it and it ain't fun, you ain't doing something right, right? So love is fun between me and my child. Just the little goofy stuff that she says and does, even in the beginning. Like, she was a little bit afraid because she had seen me go around and under and over and try to get out and wasn't successful. So she was apprehensive about the level of work that I was doing, and didn't know who these new people was that I was hanging out with. So she got to be a part of the fun too, because she packed up her little book bag in the evening after we had dinner, and she went to the meeting with me. And it was very nice. Look, it was fun. It was fulfilling to sit in a meeting knowing I'm doing the right thing for the right reason and don't have to worry about what is going on with my child, because she's right there. It was fun. It was fulfilling. It was rewarding. Guess what? I also got to model some behavior that you can mess up your life. You can make mistakes. You're human. You're fallible. See, my parents didn't tell me all that. They said you got to do this, this, and this. And when you don't do it, you get chastised. So it becomes a anger transference. I ain't going to do that counsel stuff. Let me wipe that off. Let me start over. But, yeah, it was fun to be even in a meeting with my child. And, you know, let me tell you the most fun I ever had in a meeting. I told you about my asthma, right? So one night I was in this meeting. And the room was full, not like this, right? The room was full. And there was a soda machine in the back of the room. And I started coughing because I have asthma. So I'm embarrassed that I'm coughing. So I try to hold it in. But there was a gentleman sitting approximately where that person is sitting, and the soda machine was behind. And I was up front, and I was coughing. And the guy went to the soda machine. He bought a soda. The room was so filled till you couldn't walk around. He passed it. Look, it went through about 20 addicts' hands to get to me, right? And when I got it, I turned to tell the gentleman, thank you, right? But it seemed like there was an aura around him. But I had been praying. Because, see, I told y'all I came from jail. So I had been in there with women. And I like men. So I'm thinking maybe it's time for me to, I don't know whether it was going to be a relationship or what, but I knew I wanted sex, right? So I had been praying about that. And right when that soda came in, I took it into my hand. I turned to say thank you, but then it was this glow, right? I'm like, no, not him. That ain't the one. That ain't the one. But I'm still married to that guy. Like, that was when I was about 6 months clean. Like, I had just came home. That happened in the meeting. Like, right after I started coming, I met the guy. We dated 7 months because y'all told me that you shouldn't make drastic decisions in your first year. So when we was 13 months clean, we got married. Let me tell you, that has been a roller coaster. Sometimes up, sometimes down. But fun. Every step of the freaking way.
Yeah.
Every step of the way. Let me tell you. Look, I'm telling you, fun that you would never even imagine. I never knew that it would be give me a sense of accomplishment and fun when I would purchase a home with this guy, right? When we would actually go to our children's function. See, this is the thing. Right now, I'm going to get to this later. But sometimes the fun can also be a negative thing and back and forth. So that's the growing. Because the fun really happens when you handle situations, when you handle life differently. So in the beginning, everything was a crisis. Everything was a crisis. It was terrible. It was awful. But I'm telling you, like today, I say what I got to say. I get upset. I call my girl Dawn. I vent to her. And then I go to bed, and the next day, it ain't that bad.
Yeah.
That is the tools that Narcotics Anonymous has given me. Do you know, I've heard people say things like, my worst day using, my best day, I can't really remember, but I think it means that nothing compares to what we have here. Nothing compares to what I have been able to do. Look, I went to college. I was truly a bum when I got here. I was a bum. I wondered why people didn't give me things And I would take them if you didn't. I was a bum. Do you understand? Like, so before I went to jail, listen, it was awful. And even after coming home and living in my parents' house, I was homeless. I was a 30-year-old homeless bum. Mm-hmm. Do you know, in my neighborhood, small town, I love it. I still live there. Like, I got clean and stayed right there. I didn't want to go. Because guess what I know? Sometimes when you leave the area, people don't get to see the possibilities, right? They don't know about us. So now they know something happened because she ain't doing that stuff she used to do, right? So I didn't know that I would have the feeling about even where I live that I do in the way that people treat me, right? So let me go back to married the guy. I had the child before marrying him, and he had three. And that has been a source of stress my entire clean time. But the fun that I'm getting to is that we are working things out as husband and wife, right? Because now I'm old, you know, and I really want more fun. I want even more. I'm a fun junkie. I'm a Disney adult. I go to Disney. I'm dancing in the street in a tutu. I am having a great, I'm chasing the freaking mouse. Some of my other friends even say, like, why do you go so often? Like, because, man, if you ain't never did that, you don't understand what you're missing. Disney's fun. It's a party all the time. Who doesn't want that? Well, let me just say this. I have done some changes since I got clean. But the real me, the stuff that's under there, the part that likes a good time and a dance, man, as soon as you put the music on, I just like that. And that's why if I had come here and there was no dances, there was no card games, there was no hanging out, eating pizza and all that kind of stuff together on a Friday night, I don't know if I would have stayed. Mm-hmm. I needed more. Listen, I still need more. You know how a shirt is okay, it does the job, but if it got a rhinestone on it or something, it makes it more, right? I like more. I want it to be fun all the time. And I'm not saying that I'm unrealistic, that I don't know that life is not like that, but I'm telling you, I have learned to create a good time. And little things are important to me now. Do you know, get up on a Saturday morning, don't really have anything going on, so you're thinking about, man, those curtains been up there for a couple months. Maybe I'll take them down and wash them. And then you're like, nah, maybe it's time to just change them. And then you're off to the at-home store. You're in the at-home store for 3 hours trying to decide on the ones that you want. Once you get them, you have to bring them home and iron them. You know, you take the other ones down, you clean the windows, seal. You just spend a whole day on a project that when you get finished, you see the finished product, you feel a sense of pride and accomplishment, and you've had fun. And I can't wait for somebody to come over to my house so I can show off my curtains. Do you understand? This life has, sometimes it's been difficult. And I'll be honest, the pandemic threw me for a loop, and even thinking about it makes me emotional. It stole time from me. When I talk to my friends sometimes, they'll say, oh yeah, Dawn and I were talking today. And she was like, yeah, when was that? And I'm like, it was before the pandemic. Everything we're talking about now, I'm talking about now, is in terms of pre-pandemic. And since that thing has happened, because those years that it was ongoing, I was isolated. It took y'all away from me. So now I'm even more addicted to the fun. Like right now, I know that I live an hour away from home here, right? But I don't want to go. I haven't been back to in-person meetings like regularly. I'm still on the screen. Because I'm older. Do you know that the older people are more at risk with their pandemic stuff? And I have asthma. So I have a couple risk factors. So I'm trying to keep myself safe, right? So I feel emotional when I think about the pandemic because I never thought anything would happen like that in my lifetime. And I was at the height of fun. So during that time, I bought a timeshare. And I've been going on vacations. And I just think about, like, even before that, how I had my toes in the sand on foreign shores, right? And how, like, cruises and just eating. Oh, my God, eating. Eating. Food is my love language. Just eating and going and being with people. Fun. I'm going to tell you, shopping. Shopping is fun, but it can get you into trouble. I'm a close with this because I'm trying to be a good steward over the time, and I want to leave time for my friend. Is it okay? We good? Okay. So shopping has been fun. It has been a source of joy for me. I like fancy. I told you I like a little rhinestone on a shirt. So I have a favorite place that I like to go shopping, and I have sworn off all other places. I don't go anywhere else, right? But it's a little pricey. So I want to share this with you because sometimes the fun, I told you, can be your detriment, right? So I have been irresponsible because I wanted some of the fun, the enjoyment of just buying what I want without any regard for the financial obligations that I have and the other things that have also brought me joy, right? So it's almost like I was the balance of life was eluding me. And I'm talking about with time clean. See, I used to be the person that would share about BC, like before crack and all of that. And then I would talk about like what it's like now. And it would be almost like I was two different people. But it's a freaking lie. It took more step work. It took more time with my sponsor. It took more time with those. Look, the traditions is bad. If you read that. Because the application of, look, when I was about 6 months clean, I don't know why I was paying attention to it, because it really changed my whole life. We are fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And my father is probably one of my biggest enablers. So when I heard that tradition, I shared that with him. See, because I told him, I said, you know those meetings that I go to, one of the things they talk about is being fully self-supporting. And he was like, what? And I explained it. And the very next time I asked him for a few dollars, he quoted that right back. I was kind of upset that I had, but you know what? I knew that my higher power was guiding me in that direction because it was time for me to stop leaning on my dad because now I had a husband and all of that, right? And so I have gone to the store and bought the things that made me happy and neglected to even pay my mortgage, right? And so as a result of that, it was chaos. So chaos is not fun. See, I can tell you what fun is not. Chaos is not fun. And so it's been I'm talking my lifelong process in here of being irresponsible, like going to a convention that I couldn't afford to go to. You understand what I'm saying? The registration be $20, but then by the time you had the dancing and the banquet and the blah, 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 you'd have put out a buck, right? And then the gas to even get there. Now you're really in a bond because you should have paid your electric bill, Pamela, right? So I hadn't been responsible, but I just want to share this, that I've done some work, right? And today I came, and I feel fortunate that I'm not robbing Peter to pay Paul. I don't owe anybody anything. My bill's paid for the month because the month is at the end. I shouldn't need to pay nothing now because it's done. Do you see? Like, it's taking me, I'm going to be 60 in October, and I'm going to have 29 years, if it's his will, in July. It's taking me that long, so there's no judgment. We're all human, and we all make mistakes. But they told me when I first got here that in order to recover and get better, that's contingent upon how much of this way. And they put the books on the table, all of them. It was piled up weak. So you remember in the beginning, we didn't have those books. But when they started coming, some of us that didn't have them in the beginning didn't pick them up. So they told me, You got to pick these up because we're making them, that we're creating them so that we can all get better. So the work that you put in is going to be directly related to the outcomes that you experience, right? And as a result of that, I have learned some things, but I'm not saying that I jumped in wholeheartedly, gung-ho. I did it kicking and fighting and screaming because I was used to what I was doing. And let me just be honest, the selfishness is, that's that self-centered core. I didn't want to do it because there's no other answer. There is no other one. You get in the face of compelling evidence, I saw other people doing things differently, but I wasn't. So let me just be honest that the fun that I'm having now is even different than the fun that I had 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, because there's a different sense of accomplishment when you are able to say that you have been responsible with your financial obligations, right? That you've been responsible to the family that you say that you love. I checked in with my husband before I was sharing because I know it's getting late and he might be going to bed, right? I've done everything. Look, I called my parents this morning to check on them before and told them I'm not going to be at home today because my dad, without fail, he's going to ride by to see if my car is home, right? So I did everything that I need to do for the people that I love and care for because those are also the people that have my back. So it's reciprocal. And I love this reciprocal relationship. Love is fun. Love is fun. So I don't like the phoniness sometimes in here. I love you. Bullshit. I love you. So take some time. Sit down with me. Get to know me, right? I'm open. I haven't done anything you haven't done, and you haven't done anything that I haven't done. I'm not ashamed of any of it. The only way we get better is when we're open enough to talk about those things. And so that brings about more fun because what you realize is that you have things in common with people that you would have never thought you did. It's allowing me to enjoy the life that I have. And to be honest, without that level of fun and enjoyment, it ain't even worth it. If I wasn't having fun, what would be the point of being clean? So I just want to close with this, that I already know it's going to be hard for me to leave tonight because I'm hoping this is my coming out party. And when I say that, because I've been in the house on the screen in meetings because of COVID, I feel really comfortable here. It's not a large place like a lot of people, so I feel safe. Let's just hope I don't go home and start that damn coughing. Because that's usually what the first symptom is, you start that coughing. So I just want to say I love all of you. Thanks for being here. I do want to chat with a few of you before we leave, just because I didn't come here just to come and do this and then go back home. I want to get some numbers. I want to do the stuff that y'all told me to do in the beginning. Get some phone numbers, right? And really use them. Mm-hmm. Don't just put them in your phone. We say don't file them, dial them, right? I want to like make some dates. I told you I love eating out. I even treat you because I want a partner sometime. You understand what I'm saying? I got an eating out fund. Thanks for letting me share.
We'd like to introduce our next speaker, which is Johnny J.
Hey, family. Johnny J, grateful for becoming an addict. I'm truly grateful to the Northeast Corner of Freedom for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm a grateful addict. To be able to get through a pandemic and still have that light lit and understand that the same God was there for me was there for everybody. Unfortunately, some fell by the wayside. Because I guess the reality is you have to make fun. I have to find the things to keep this thing going, and everything that look like fun is not. And let it be clear that some fun will leave you back. You know, they said the best time for addicts to lose is when they super happy or they super sad. And which one did I choose to be? So I choose to be super happy, but I keep it real because I understand that when I got here, I had to change. When I got here, it was nothing fun. I wore a mask when I got here. I dressed well, and I had a nice physique, and I had a nice actora, and I wasn't set out, even though I lived like a derelict within my house. But I had all the trimmings, but the mask had to go. I came up in Pentecostal church. You know, you can't be but so happy there, because anything that's fun is sin. And that was the way that I kind of view life, you know, being rigid. And, you know, one thing about the addict, you don't care whether you're rigid or whether you're raw. Whether you loose or let you tight, it will find you and seek you out. But here provided me an opportunity to not only shed what I had thought I was to become who God was going to make me. And this is where fun kicked out. You know, I was married, and I'm going to move to real briefly because you know, time is really short. I was married at a young age, and within one year of my marriage, my wife was paralyzed from an aneurysm, and I took care of her until the marriage finally separated. So I never had a lot of fun as some people would. I mean, clean, because I started using while I was in the course of marriage, but by nature, I'm a fun person. And sometimes that, to some people, can be an opportunity to take shots at you and bring you down, because people don't like to see happy folks. But I was happy being who people wanted me to be and not who God was creating me to be. And see, and sometimes when you stand for something, your attitude or your idea of what fun will change. Because see, the bad marriage I found fun in, or isolation and drug use. But really, I was running. I was filling the void with whatever, and I was just existing. And when I came to, let me read this real quick. When I came to the fellowship, first I had to stop using, lose the desire, and find a new way to live. And it's a process, because see, I had worked myself into a hole that I had to allow God to bring me out a day at a time, a step at a time, a desire at a time, an awakening at a time. See, one thing about recovery for me, it wasn't a microwave recovery. It's not. It wasn't then, it's not now. And I had to first find out who I was and what I really, really enjoyed other than singing. What made me tick? I realized that I was... I'm empathic. I'm a very different person. I'm very much content with being a loner with my few friends. Mm-hmm. I don't need a lot of people to be seen. I'm seen when I walk through the door. I realize that, and I realize ego can ease God out. Mm-hmm. See, so I had to really allow God to change me into something that would be a light. Because one thing about people outside recovery, they look at us, they don't know who we are, but they see what they see. Mm-hmm. And I can't speak recovery if I'm dim and dark. I didn't come here to be miserable, you know? So I'm going to just read this real. It says, and this is out of the more it be revealed. I just took a snapshot. This is out of our literature. I ain't going to come step in here with a book underneath my arm like I'm doing the meeting. I said, let me just read it, because I have to go to the literature. It says, in recovery, our idea of fun change. We are now free to enjoy the simple things in life, like fellowshipping and living in harmony with nature, We now have to become free to develop a new understanding of life. As we look back, we are grateful for our new life. It is so unlike the events that brought us here. While using, we thought that we had fun, and that non-users were deprived of it. Spirituality enabled us to live life to its fullness, feeling grateful for who we are and for what we have done in life. Since the beginning of our recovery, we have found that joy doesn't come from material things, mm-hmm. but from within ourselves. We find that when we lose self-obsession, we are able to understand what it means to be happy, joyous, and free. I'm going to leave it there. That's what I had to do. You know, I went to a couple of the world conventions. I like to do spiritual things. Like, what's fun for me is meditating and developing my spirituality. I like going to cultural things. I like to support things outside the fellowship that brings happiness. I like the music part. We went to the roller coaster. Remember, I'm on the roller coaster and stuff. I understand that I can enjoy some of the things other people can do, but I can do it clean. I don't have to put myself in or my recovery in places that endanger me, mm-hmm. or with people that they have to get high to have fun. I gotta have a drink. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I had to understand everybody ain't going where God has taken us. I had to understand I have to turn it over and learn how to live a new way, clean, and enjoy gratitude in the midst of getting older. Mm-hmm. I have to understand that sex is good, but intimacy is better. Because then you get to know the person, and you just not always going with a one-night thing. I'm a single guy. I can go with one night, two nights, three nights, four nights. But I understand as I begin to grow, old habit sheds off, and I want something more. Recovery always leaves me wanting something more. Something better. To dreams. It's a lost dreams are awakened. I don't know where God is taking me. Look, I work in the field that's not fun. I work in hospice. I deal with people that die daily. Fun to me is when someone looks up to me and says, which is true, only a smile. When that person is on their last breath, but they see my smile, they feel my spirit. This is, may not be significant to new you, but it is to me, and it was to them. Mm-hmm. See, I understand that I don't have to be like everybody else to enjoy who God is making me. See, so coming to working the 12 steps, it made me, allow me to know that everything is a choice, and everything that looks good is not. And that my disease can cover itself up in something that may be my flavor that I like. That I need to look past that and understand that I'm now being guided by a higher calling, by a person that's steering the ship and it's not me. I understand every day I need to surrender and ask for a God-driven life so I can enjoy the birds singing. I love beaches. I like camping. I like being around peaceful people. I don't like chaos and confusion. I don't like gossip. I don't like going against a program that has provided me opportunities to grow. We're not perfect here. If I was perfect, I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. I always believe that I can be part of the problem or the solution. See, fun allowed me to be part of the solution. Fun allowed me to see that newcomer come through that door and I be there to hug them. Because I may be going through something that day, but if I set aside what I'm going through and be available for them, Because each and every day I have to give it away. And giving it away may be at places I don't want to go, with people I don't want to give it to. But as long as I'm doing God's will, that is fine for me. Because like I said, I've changed. I have surrendered to a higher calling, which allowed me to be, but I couldn't do it without the steps. See, the steps led me to a place of knowing you could have been statistics, Johnny. I cleaned you up. I made you to be somebody that you always was. You just didn't know it because, see, you start out being hurt at a very young age. That wife and being in church and all that, you thought that maybe God, you thought you deserved that because y'all was having sex and you wasn't married. So you thought that maybe, you know, and I did. I thought that that was a punishment for me. But now I understand it wasn't. It was just what it was. So fun for me is knowing that I don't have to live through the guilt of the past. And I don't have to allow people, especially people that are close to you, step over you and take you for granted, disrespect you, feel like you owe them something. Because they don't understand, they need recovery too. See, we are blessed to be here. Just because we're here, you know, I mean, we got people in our families close to us, we know need to be here. But that's okay, that's their process. I don't let nobody slap me on my joy today. And people here know me, know I'm very serious, but I take the cover seriously. I enjoy the simplest things, and I enjoy making mistakes so I can see how God is using me to get through them. As Tamara said, you stay around long enough, you sometimes those bills gonna be flipped upside down, you know how you got here. But you use the tools to get you out. Because you'll live to tell the story. We share our spirit, strength, and our hope. I can't stay here and not go through something and come out to tell a story. Because see, that's the joy. And I didn't have to use. I don't play with reservations. I don't play with my recovery. And I don't lie to myself, and I don't have people around me to lie to me. I have a sponsor. I'm involved in service work. And, you know, so that's just where I'm at. I don't know how much time I got. I hope I'm almost to the end, because Reggie said no. Like 10 minutes, because you know, it was a lot of pain that brought me here. A lot of pain. You know, my belief system have changed, and I'm so grateful that all understanding doesn't come. I was sharing earlier for don't come from dogma, because dogma will not allow you to forgive yourself or become who you are, because you're in the scope of another human being where really. I should be in line in my spirit, because it's out inside stuff that keeps me coming back. Material stuff and all that stuff you have, it's not going to go in the ground with you. So I don't really worry about how long I live. I'm more so worried about what I do with my life that I'm here. I'll be 64 years old if I live this scene in 2 months. And I feel like I'm at the best place I've ever been. Mm-hmm. Because now God can use me. I was clean back in 2007. And if I live to see July, I'll have 16 years. But I don't count recovery as I count what I do during my journey, day by day. It goes by. See, so, you know, I you know, this program, the sky's the limit. But you got to want it. You got to work for it. I have to work for it. And I love artwork. Not love the laugh. I got the loudest laughs. I probably was one of the loudest people down there in the convention hall tonight. Because I really do enjoy me. And I also can enjoy you. And, you know, that's just about it for me. This process has opened up the doors for me to leave this world whenever I do, because I deal in death, so you don't have to be sick to leave here. But I always say, you know, God, thank you for cleaning me up to really find my real ministry. You know, it's good to have behind walls, but the real work is out there amongst the people, amongst us, people that need to see us come and hug them and just let them know, if I can get it, you can get it. Literally, any addict can lose the desire and find a new way to live. You know, we have nice cliches that some must die for others. Nobody need to die for me. They'll die and I'll still die. So those, they sound good, but they, it's, to me, it's not really, no, I don't need you to die for me to understand. I would too. If I make a decision to change what I think is fun, it's right there for me. And it'd be just like some of those people that come to me that thought they wasn't having fun in recovery because they didn't participate in recovery. And they thought everything is, it's going to be high and rosies. You know what? Rose to me sometimes is in the struggle, because that's when you get the greatest blessings. You get the biggest testimony. Because I understand I'm in a partnership with God, my sponsor, and you. We share our experience, our strength, and hope. There's nothing that I can't go through that Tamara can't tell me about, because she's been through it. That's fun. We don't have to go against the wall. We don't have to go all the way to understand God will bring you out. Sometimes you just settle and let God show you. But you got to have that relationship through the steps with it, because everybody is different. Mm. Everybody is different. So I have a lot of gratitude today. I refuse to be here and be lazy. But also I refuse to be here and not have an intuitive ear to my spirit being that has now found life. Not my religious being, my spiritual being. Because those are things that the disease had robbed me of, because I gave it permission. Mm. Yeah, everything, I don't blame people, I blame myself. You can bring it to me, but if I receive it, then I can't blame you. I should be, you know, and that's where growth's coming at, man. We never stop growing here, Reggie. I could be the most, when people talk about, when they talk about, when you heard, but I mean, when you heard these people talking about these older people, I'm talking about older people, they talking about, oh, I feel, one leg, well, you keep your leg in the grave of a banana peel. I didn't come in, common sense that we're getting older, but we get better. Because what I enjoyed when I was younger, I don't enjoy that now. I enjoy more mature things. Things that's appropriate for me. And what's appropriate for me is mostly not appropriate for my other guys my age. Like, I like skydiving. Seriously, I work out 3, 4, 5 days a week. I mean, work out, not just go to the gym and sit like an old person. I'd be up in there, you wouldn't even know. You would know. Young people, because see, that's what recovery has allowed me to do. I didn't catch up, I caught on. And God has showed up every time in my life through this process. I love this process. And this process allowed me to participate in other things, spiritual things. So I hope that I have helped somebody. I feel good about life. Fun to me is not chaotic. I don't like chaos. No, I walk away. But fun to me sometimes is speaking up, then stepping back. Because with sometimes fun, you need to let that manager know that you didn't appreciate how they addressed you. Because that's also what recovery has taught me too. Sometimes it's time to speak up and sometimes it's not. But when you do it, know why you do it and stand firm while you do it and don't make it a molehill. I'm going through something right now with my job with that. See, that is fun to me. You may not get it, but I do, because see, at the end of what I'm doing, it's a bigger blessing for me. See, you have to see where God is taking you. And with me, I deal with family differently. If I don't bring you love, I would never bring you hate. But I'm not going to receive yours neither, though. That's where I'm at. So, Reggie, I'm done. Thank you for allowing me to share.
I'd like to thank our speakers.